Okay, no, it wasn't. Okay, so the recording is starting now. So I'm just gonna bear with me. I'm just gonna start over. So welcome. I hope you had a nice weekend. It's a little bit wet today, but it's good for the gardens. So I don't have any questions that I've found in my email box today. So I'm just gonna talk about a few things that I think it's important to discuss. That sometimes I think about it between classes and after a class we've had, and just things to really reinforce what we're doing, because it's not just about stuffing your head with a bunch of information. It's really about how whatever you are learning, how you are internalizing it, and how it comes out through the choices you make, and you know, going from your head through your heart or some inner process out into your hands. You know, are you grabbing for things that you normally wouldn't that you know you shouldn't grab, or are you picking the good choices? So what are your hands doing? That's like a really simple way of looking at it. And what will it take for you to reach your health goals? It's not necessarily the same things that it will take for me to reach my health goals, or for somebody else to reach their health goals, your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, because we're living in the era of bio-individual medicine, nutrition, self-care, whatever you want to call it. And it's really important to have that perspective so you don't give up. Like in the past, especially, I hope this is starting to change, especially with the diet and lifestyle books out there, somebody will come across an approach that works for them, and then they make the assumption that this will work for everybody else as well. And that's sort of how it's presented. So that's probably what's a lot behind all the, you know, fad diets. And fad diets can be really hard on the body and actually get in the way when you're making more than just a fad diet change to lose weight, because you may have the up and down, or the starvation mode that a lot of diets will put you in will mess with the thyroid signaling, so it's not going to respond. That's something that could happen, but I want to talk more about weight loss resistance probably next week during this support call. And so really what I want to talk about today is what it will take for you to reach your health goals. And like I was saying, it varies for all of us. And it's really important that we don't just come in, try one thing, it didn't work, we'll go back out, start doing that thing again, and we go in, try something else that didn't work, we'll go back out again. Because imagine in your mind that there's 10 cards on a table. And for me to get my health back, I have to lift 5 of those cards, and I have to figure out which 5 will make a difference for me personally, and what could be resolving some issues I'm dealing with. And for you, you may have to lift 3 of those, and somebody else may need to lift 8 of them, and somebody else may need to turn over all 10 of them. So it's really important that if we do something and it doesn't work, that we don't give up and start doing it again and try something else. Because then, like, let's say you need 5 of those cards flipped over. One of them could be letting go of gluten, and often also I recommend grains, especially flours, because of the impact. The more refined the product is, the faster it will enter the bloodstream and you know, influence your blood sugar. So let's say you're flipping that gluten grain card, and you don't get the effects of it. Oh, that didn't work for me. Then you turn it over again and start eating gluten. But now I'm going to try going dairy-free. Then you do that, but that's not going to work, because maybe your body needs to get rid of like a lot of different things. So that's what I want to say, like, don't back out from something that you've started doing in this program if you don't see immediate results, because try to have a bigger picture. And regardless if you see a shift in your health goal, you're still putting higher quality food into your body, and that's going to pay off sooner or later, I promise, and in many different ways. I think that's really, really important that you keep going forward and don't do this step back, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Now I'm turning and I'm trying here. So really keep that image in your mind, and you have to find the cards that work for you. But we all have to start with the fundamentals, and that's what we're doing in this course. And again, we're going to look at those little choices that we make every day. And I'm really happy to hear that I just got an email that one of the members here was able to say no to a favorite dessert, applying the bright line approach. Yay! So happy to hear those things. And I really want to congratulate you that you're able to, you know, not have to do that. I don't know if it was any negotiations with yourself, but the bright line inherently means that it's a line, and that's just not things that you put into your body. And that's and the more wins we get, the more often we're able to do that, the easier it would be next time. So keep that in mind. It's always harder when we start something, and it will be easier next time because it's starting to become a habit, and you're realizing that the world's still standing, the sun will rise tomorrow, even if you don't eat that dessert. And you're creating a new normal for yourself. And you're going to be so happy afterwards that you didn't, because you know how you feel often when you eat things that don't agree with us. And that's something else to remember, that as you're starting to remove foods that you've been eating maybe your whole life, that your body has been taking energy from your body. And if you reintroduce them, you may have a reaction that's going to surprise you. And because you're not back to where you started, you've kind of stepped off the starting point, and now you're moving from A to B. So you can never go back to A. So your body is actually going to have more energy to actually respond and make a reaction and signaling to you that this is not a desirable food. And listen to those signals, even if they're subtle, even if it could be something like brain fog, it could be a headache, or it could be like stomach problems, or, you know, some diarrhea, or just some skin rashes, however your body is communicating with you. Listen to those messages and tune in, because there's messages coming. We just have to quiet down enough to hear them. But just be prepared for that stronger reaction. That's normal. I just want you to know that. And along these lines of, there's often this image in our mind. It's in a way ego thinking, that we're thinking, oh, you see yourself in the future in this kind of body with this kind of life circumstance. But that's not real. What's real is what's going on in the present moment. And when you get towards that moment, your ego is going to play tricks on you and move to another time in the future. So you can never get to that state. So we have to remember to really be in the moment and stop resisting what's going on, surrendering to where you are. And also to think of your body as a verb, not a noun. I want this body figure or that. And, you know, let's say somebody goes on a crash diet and they're able to get a silhouette that they want in one instance in time. That's not really real, because we travel through this lifetime in our bodies as our vehicle. And think of your body as a verb, not a noun. It's something in action. It's always changing. We grow up, we grow older, and then we age, and our body comes into contact with a lot of things in its environment. And this field of the environment and how the environment can turn genes you're born with on or off. So if it's a gene for some condition that may be in your family, if you have that predisposition, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get that condition. But that's where you have power to not allowing that gene to activate. And in our environment, It's obviously what we put into our body as our fuel, and also what we put into our body, you know, that's not really food, that it's junk, right? We call it junk because it's not nutrient, it's not food. And then it's also what you breathe in. Air quality is really important and often not talked about enough when we talk about health. We talk about what we eat, but not so much what we breathe in. But we breathe in several hundred liters of air every day. The quality of your air is really important. So if you're in an office or something where the air is not good, see if that can be improved. And also try to bring in some air purifying plants. You can easily Google air purifying plants and see what comes up. I know spider plant is one of them. And then it's also the other things that we put on our body. Think about, makeup, lotions, all that stuff. So we shouldn't really put anything on our body that we wouldn't be able to put in our body in the form of food. And we're going to talk more about the environment and how the environment and, you know, toxins from the environment can leak into your body and stand in the way between you and your health goals. So we're going to talk more about this in class 5. But also, like we have touched on before, but it's worth mentioning again, is stress and being aware of where you are. Are you sympathetic, which is that fight, flight, or freeze response? Or are you parasympathetic, which is rest and digest, which is where you want to hang out most of the time, because we really only want to go into sympathetic on an as-needed basis and for very short periods of time, because it's very catabolic and it breaks down and it's really very damaging. And it also changes the chemistry of your blood. So it's, and your cells are immersed in this liquid that we call blood. It's like a culture liquid for the cells. And the cells pick up their signals and nutrients and all that. So the chemistry in your blood is really, really important for what's going on in your body, in all the hormones it releases, etc. And on the flip side, you can actually, if stress or a sympathetic state of mind is negative for the chemistry balance in your blood, you can create positive chemistry in your blood by being mindful. And for me, being mindful really means to be in the present moment, to being right now, right here. And that's, we can enter that state most easily through our 5 senses, that you smell things, you're aware of your feeling. Because mindlessness is when we, let's say, we eat a big plate of food and you don't taste anything because your head's elsewhere, right? Because we're living in a time where our mind is very strong and we're not as in touch with the tangible world around us, and that's become even more, let's say, almost urgent state since we've started, you know, walking around with our phones and everything being just screens all the time. So really use your senses as your portal to mindfulness. And it's about taking those little moments. Like, don't try to be in the next moment all the time. When you have a sip of your tea, sip the tea, taste the temperature, the flavor, feel the cup in your hand, put it down, hear it touch the surface you're putting it on. Take a couple of deep belly breaths. And also, when you wash your hands, really lather the soaps, you know, smell it, hopefully scented with essential oils or unscented. And one thing I'd like to do this time of year, I love lilacs. Ever since I was a kid, I've loved lilacs and their scents. So whenever I'm out walking, if I see walk by a lilac bush, I always make a point of stopping and just, you know, inhaling it, sniffing the lilac bush. And it's amazing. It just smells so good. And so just being, even if you're going somewhere, we often are conditioned to be more stressed than we really have to be. So if we can just take our time, you know, to smell the roses and the lilac bush on the way, it doesn't, how long does it take? You know, 10 seconds? Still going to make wherever you're going on time. And we have this thing that very narrow field of sight. So that's the more sympathetic. We don't see more than that we have blinders on. But what we're aiming for is more of a parasympathetic, which is like wide angle vision. And that's when you're able to be present and also get that good chemicals that are really relaxing and nourishing, basically for your whole nervous system and all the signaling that cascades from that. So, and also gratitude and feeling that you're on purpose. And just whatever you do, even if you feel like it's not your purpose or the most amazing thing that you can ever think of doing, because nobody's going to be born on this earth and only do their highest purpose all the time. But it's really when you start doing something to the best of your ability, that's when you become present and you forget about stuff around you. It could be even things like doing the dishes. If you really don't feel like you have to be in the next moment or feel rushed, then you can really, you know, let that be an experience that's pleasant. So I hope that's helpful. And also, I have a little exercise for you to finish off here today. So I just want you to think about, have a saboteur show up in your life. And if you're tempted to say that there is no saboteur in life, in your life at this time, think again. We all have a saboteur, especially if you start thinking we don't have one. They've really gotten it, right? So just try to, you know, step back and get a perspective and write down a few lines where you see it in your life, and to help you find some places where you can look for it would be, for example, in your cravings and how you're dealing with them and the curve of your cravings, like the intensity, how long it lasts, when it goes away, and other temptations. For example, you are at a friend's house for dinner, a restaurant, and there's temptations on the menu or in the meal that you're ordering. There may be an ingredient or something that you know is not your best choice, but instead of just making that tiny little split second decision to ask for a substitute, let's say, oh, can I get some oil and vinegar? That's better. Or, you know, hold the fries. I'll have extra vegetables or double sized salad or something. Saboteur can also show up in lack of planning, that you're talking yourself into that you're way too busy. But also look at, if you think you're too busy, really write down what you're doing in a normal day. And that includes, you know, surfing the web, watching Netflix, all those things. Because there are things that if you can make decisions from your front brain, from your prefrontal cortex, that you probably would not do. But if we go and have it, we may make decisions that aren't the best for us, but we talk ourselves into that why we're not doing things that are moving you forward in your health is because you're too busy. So dive a little one day deeper there. Saboteur can also show up in lack of sleep, and also show up in how other people show up in our environment, being a little bit of a test for you. I know we talked about earlier that people showing up with, you know, platters of pastries just to kind of test you. See it as a little, you know, weight in the gym for you to grow your good choice in the moment muscle upon. So before next class, you have a couple of days. Think about this exercise, how the saboteur shows up in your life. I'll put this in the email I'm sending out with this recording as well. So I hope today's Q&A support call following class 4 has been helpful, and I look forward to seeing you in class in a couple of days. And until then, take care. Bye-bye.